Yo, what's up, everybody? Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Anxiety Now. I'm your host, Jordan Rabel. You already know that. That's why you came here. You already know this is my podcast. There's no way you stumbled across this accidentally, because there's no search engine optimizing my podcast. That's the only explanation I come up with for why it isn't doing better. Why it isn't bigger than WTF. Oh, man, but yeah, how are you? I hope you're doing well. I hope you're having a good week. I've had a mixed day today. It's been a mixed day today. I'll give you the good thing, and then I'll get into the bad thing. Here's the good thing that happened to me. Do you ever notice how sometimes when a good thing happens to you, it was actually precipitated by a bad thing? So what I mean by that is, like, let's say you get sick or you get hurt, but then your injury heals and you'll be like, oh, it's good though, because now my shoulder, it works again because the doctor fixed it. And it's like, yeah, but what about the awful thing before where you tore your rotator cuff? So was it good? Well, you know what would have been a good thing is if it kept the status quo and you never had the bad issue in the first place. But I did a really bonehead thing. We had one of our friends who's helped us out with mini sketches, Robert Romero, talented director, editor, producer, extraordinaire, the Rabel Brothers sketches. He's helped us with one that's coming out in the next week or two, I think, this Matthew Lesko one. And by the way, thank you to everyone that checked out our corporate apology video. Yo, we got like 28,000 views on that shit. Went semi-viral on Reddit. That's beautiful. We went into the throes of horrible negativity. Reddit, the place where everyone fears to share stuff, and they liked our thing, so that felt good. But thank you to everyone who checked those out. But anyway, so Rob helped us shoot this thing, and I was going to give him money. I'm not going to disclose how much, because y'all don't need to know how little or how much I pay to do stuff. But on Venmo, I was going to give him half up front for shooting it, and then, you know, the second half for when it was finished. And so I got Rob, and immediately after we shot, I went and sent money to Rob Romero, and I was like, good, send him the money, we're good to go. That's great, because I'm like a Lannister. I always pay my debts. Never leave a debt hanging. Unless I'm too far in debt someday, then I'm definitely going to declare bankruptcy. But otherwise, always pay my debts, always try to do it quickly, because I can't stand when someone owes me money. Isn't that the worst feeling in the world, when someone owes you money? And it's not even a large amount of money, but it's like, let's say it's like 10 bucks. Isn't that the worst? Because you feel like such a Scrooge McJew face duck whenever you don't get that, when you ask for the $10 that the person owes you. You feel horrible about yourself. So you should just not put your friends and people you work with in those positions, and you should be upfront and communicate when the money is coming. Because you'll lose a friend over $5, $10. You really will. People feel so bad when they have been taken advantage of, or when, you know, you don't pay them back. They'll be furious with you for that kind of stuff. But so I think I transfer money to Robert Merrill. I pay the money to his Venmo, and I'm like, dope, good to go. Gave him that half. Rob did some work, sent us it, got the work, and I was like, sent him the money, and I was like, dope, send him that. We good to go. Then today, I get a notification from Rob Romero on my Venmo account, which, by the way, I kind of hate using Venmo. I keep all my transactions private. I can't believe people share publicly what money they're spending and how they're spending it. And I know it's mostly for, like, paltry sums or, you know, beer. Someone buys you a beer, you'd Venmo them $5 or something, or a sandwich. But I can't believe people, like, have made this into a social media thing where they share where their money is coming and going. That's so gross and weird to me. But so I put it on private, and I send it to Rob Romero, and I'm like, good, we're good to go. I wait, you know, the time passes, then he finishes the project for us, the thing he was going to do for us, send him the rest of it, as agreed upon. Then did I get a notification from Rob Romero that says, hey, I think you sent this to the wrong person. And I was like, went and looked at the guy's picture, and I was like, oh, fuck. That's just a random Latino guy named Rob Romero. No. And I comment back, and I was like, oh, you're right. I meant to send it to my video editing friend, Rob Romero. Is there any way you could send this money back to me? And the guy did. What a hero. That's a good person, man. This guy basically found $200 in his bank account today and sent it back. What a great person. Jeez, that is so kind of him. He could have easily blocked me and just pocketed the money. I probably could have disputed the transaction somehow, but he could have just blocked me and pocketed it, and it would have been like, I wouldn't have known. Rob would have maybe texted me in a couple weeks, or maybe been... Here's what's bad is my friend Rob is probably feeling some amount of ill will towards me because he thinks I'm jipping him out of his money, out of the thing I owe him, and rightfully so because he hasn't gotten it, and he's... I assumed I took care of it, and thank God for this guy informing me. That is so kind of him. But like I said, it was really a bad thing up front, and it's my mistake. But these pictures on Venmo, they're so small. They're so small, and I couldn't tell it wasn't Rob. They kind of look similar in my defense. In my defense, they kind of look similar. And I can say that because I'm dating a Latino. Oh, man. I don't believe that at all. I hate when people say that kind of stuff where they'll be like, I can say it because some of my friends are black. And you're like, I don't think that's how it works. And you really think they're going to co-sign what you just said? Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know. I don't think they're going to co-sign that. Well, I can say it. My girlfriend's from that place. Yeah, then you should have more empathy. You should have a better understanding and get how that would hurt someone's feelings. And I know I'm saying that after saying two racist-ish jokes in the beginning, but hey, I could say that. Some of my best friends are Jewish and hoard money, like Will Posnan. I don't know, man. Some of those stereotypes are so dumb, like the Jews and money thing. That one... It actually makes me laugh because of how stupid it is. Is there a race of people in the world who is notorious for spending copious amounts of money stupidly? I don't think there's like a racial stereotype on that one. Every person on earth is stingy with money. Every ethnic group is stingy with money. Every single one of us. We're all Jews. That's what I'm saying. Every person is a Jew. Because we're all stingy with money. None of us want to blow money. That's the thing that stressed us all out. Speaking of which, yo. I'm going to get into that later. That doesn't really... I don't know why. I'm just thinking about how... Now let's go to the bad thing that happened to me this morning. Is that I got a ticket for... Apparently, I didn't have the proper registration sticker on my car. Now, this might be dumb to some of you because you're good grown-ups, but I didn't even know. I bought my car to drive to comedy shows. I've been driving it for five months or so. No issues at all, other than the fact that idiots keep hitting me when it's parked still, and then driving off, so I have no way to figure out the compensation. And of course, they don't leave a note that says, hey, I fucked up your car. Here, let me give you $500 to fix that thing. No, I don't have a bunch of Rob Romeros I'm surrounding me. You know what I mean? But I got a ticket because I didn't have my car registered. Here's what's so annoying about the city of New York is that the whole thing is it's just tries to extract as much resources out of its people that live here as it can. It just is it's a fucking vampire of a city. I've been to other cities, and other cities don't act like that. I'd imagine that if you were in like a smaller city, the cop would have been like waited by your car and be like, hey, you need to go get this taken care of. I just don't think it should be a ticket right away. I think it should be a hey, you need to go get this registered properly before I have to give you fucking $65 ticket. They ding you up on everything. Every single little thing the city can take from you, it will. And that is why everyone in the city acts like they're trying to take everything they can from it. Is because it's not a nice place. It's a horrible, horrible, wretched city. And you only live here because it's, for me at least, it's like a comedy hub and a place I can do the thing I want to do with the rest of my life. You know, it's the only reason I live here. I don't live here because I don't enjoy walking around New York City. You think I like almost getting mugged in my neighborhood? That's awful. You think I like having 2-hour traffic to travel 3 miles? You think I like waiting on a subway platform where it's somehow, even though it's underground, is still hotter than outside? No. No, obviously, I don't like that. Obviously, everyone hates a city. Anyone that lives in the city is only here because of there's one concrete thing that is keeping them here. Unless you're rich, then it's your playground. You know what I mean? You get these tickets and you take them and you just hand them to your admin and just go, please take care of this. Gotta be, the older you get, the more dope you start realizing being rich is. I hope rich people are miserable. I really do. If you're rich, one, probably not listen to my podcast, but two, I hope you're miserable. I hope you're so depressed. I touched on it last week. I hope that Mark Zuckerberg feels like he is in a prison every day he goes to work at Facebook. Sure, he can do whatever he wants, kind of, but he still has to go there every day. Think about that. He has to go deal with... Dude's worth $100 billion. I don't think that's true, but whatever. Worth $50 billion or whatever he's worth, has to still go to meetings. That blows. Doesn't that suck? That totally sucks. He has to go to meetings and be inundated with information he probably can't care about. The goal is to not have that stuff in your life. The goal is to live your life completely on your terms. I guess he can call his own meeting, but... And he has to pay cool people to, like, hang out with him. Like, didn't they have Andy Samberg once appear at one of their investor things? He had to give Andy Samberg probably $50,000 for that appearance to get him to talk to him. That's how big of a loser that guy is. He's a loser. He's a loser. Yeah, I got that ticket. It is really, there's times, and I have more proof than just me getting one ticket that's how the city works. There, if you've driven in New York, you know that if you hit rush hour, now rush hour is like a 4 p.m. to like 7:30, 8 p.m. area, and there's like one bridge to get to New Jersey. There's more than that, but there's one, I can't even remember what it's called right now. I'm always on it, but there's a bridge. It's down near like that Canal Street area. It's down near the Canal Street. You go, whatever. Anyway, there's this one spot where it's bumper-to-bumper traffic, and it, like, barely moves if you get there any time after, straight up 3:30. You get there after 3:30, it's bumper-to-bumper traffic, and it's bumper-to-bumper, like, going in every direction, like, all four ways. There's no way to cheat it because there's only one entrance into this bridge to get into New Jersey. There's only one bridge getting to this into New Jersey, and so the traffic is horrific, bumper to bumper. And people, here's what the New York City cops do. Instead of directing traffic to keep anyone from like blocking the box, which I understand, how frustrating is that when someone pulls into the middle of an intersection and then their light turns red and they're still in the middle of the intersection? It's like getting caught with your pants down. It's so embarrassing. You're a selfish. See you next Tuesday if you do that. If you block the box, you're such a selfish, shitty person. Brett and I were talking about it, that Louis joke, that it's not one of his best jokes, but it's a thought that we think about all, it's a thought that like has resonated with us. And it's one about like driving when people just all of a sudden do a U-turn illegally and endanger everyone's lives. And it's like, I just want to do my favorite thing. That's what people in the block and the box are. They're just trying to do their favorite thing. They're totally prioritizing themselves over everyone else. And it doesn't matter. You're at a fucking red light, and the goddamn thing is obviously bumper to bumper, so it's going to turn green, and you're going to go the 3 meters that's available to you anyway. So you're just impeding everyone else because you're concerned that you're going to have a 10-second delay when you're already going to be there for 2 hours. So there should be... What they should do is they should have a cop there to direct the traffic and put hands up, because that's what cops are supposed to do. They're supposed to be helpful. They should be helpful to all of us. But here's what New York does. Instead of having cops stand there and direct traffic and put hands up and be like, don't go, now you can go. Because sometimes it's a little tough to know when you could Everyone's accidentally blocked a box. I know what I said, but you accidentally block it too occasionally. You don't mean to. You think you could cheat through and get through, and you know it turns. You mistime the thing, and you thought there was a green light ahead, and there ends up not being one. Anyway, there should be a cop there. There really should be a cop there, and that guy should wave you through or not. But instead of having the cop wave you through, here's what New York does. Here's what they do. They put four cops, and they stand on the corner, and they wait until someone is illegally blocking the box. And instead of, you know, working with them, instead of those four cops directing traffic, they're just there handing out tickets, making money for the city. It's a small little tax bullshit they pull. And they should be directing the traffic. Because if they were directing the traffic, everything would be smoother. But instead of doing that, they're just taking thousands upon thousands of dollars from taxpayers and citizens. And for what? You know? It's the city is just a fucking vampire trying to extract as much resources out of its citizens as it can. And the only reason I live here is because I don't have enough podcast listeners. And I'm not big enough to not live here. That's my goal. You think about like comedians like Doug Stanhope. He lives in the middle of bumblefuck Arizona. And he has his fan base, and then he kind of just travels when he feels. Nobody's making him do it. He travels when he feels. Now, he's worked exceptionally hard to get to that point, and that's what I'm trying to make happen. But, you know, that's like, how cool would that be? That's what you want, though. And he's so much cooler than Zuckerberg. He doesn't have any meetings he doesn't want to go to. Nobody's making him be at a place. Nobody is. He's there of his own volition. That's what life is about, baby. Really can't stand driving, though, just in general. I'm in the car. You got to understand, I've become very particular about how to drive. Like, people who drive in the left-hand passing lane, it's a passing lane. It is for passing. If you are not passing, get to the right, dickhead. Get to the right. Passing lane. What is so hard to understand about that? Stay to the right if you're not passing anybody. I can't stand that. People who drive with their brights on around other people. If you're not in the country and nobody is around, don't have your brights on. You're a dickhead. I think you should be able to throw change at other people's car if they're breaking these rules. Chip their paint a little bit. I think you should be able to do that. Or that's the type of stuff cops actually should write tickets for. That would actually make a huge difference. If you got a ticket for being in that left lane, God, so much, I hate giving money for tickets, especially the registration thing. Here's why it blows, because that doesn't hurt anybody. Blocking the box, I understand the ticket thing for that, because you kind of block the box once, and you get a ticket, and you don't do it again, unless you're rich. Then you just do whatever you want. But you don't do it again. You really don't. But, like, the registration thing, like, why do you even got to? There's a license plate on it. You know I'm driving the car. Why do you need the registration sticker? I don't even know. What's the point of that sticker? I have a fucking license plate. We're good, bro. We're good. I don't need to do this again. So pointless, man. So pointless. What do they even care about that type of shit? I was like flipping through. It's insane how many shows are on Netflix. And have you ever been through someone else's like Netflix queue or someone else's like their Netflix choices? It's almost like you didn't even know that all these like shows existed. Like I was choosing a movie or a show to watch with my girlfriend on Netflix last night, and she has like a different Netflix than I do. Such a different Netflix. Like her Netflix has, it's all food shows, and it's all like exercise programs and nutrition, like, you know, all the, like, the harbingers of the apocalypse diet shows, those ones. That's all her thing is. Meanwhile, mine is only stand-up specials and Hitler documentaries. Or, like, crime thrillers. That kind of, that's all mine is. So many shows on Netflix. It actually, here's, it made me feel bad how many shows there were on Netflix. Because here I am, an actual stand-up comedian who writes every day, who produces, edits, acts in his own bullshit routinely. And I don't have a show on Netflix. And it made me feel bad because I thought about it. And I was like, this person is a designer and all they do is tell people that they should get these drapes. And this person has a show. And what's even more frustrating is that person is semi-famous. And that doesn't, that's not really, I mean, I guess it is interesting because people are watching it. But who the fuck would watch that? Who would watch that? There's like so many shows on Netflix that I bet you if we saw the view count like you do on YouTube, they have like 8 views. They have 8 views. There's so many shows. I remember when you first got Netflix, like let's say 5-ish years ago, Netflix, like you could get to the end of Netflix. Like you could watch so much Netflix that you were like, I watched all of this. And now you would die 5 lifetimes over before you hit that point. You'd be dead. You really, there's so much content being made right now that we don't even need more content to entertain all of us. And I know that being a person who, quote, produces content, which is a gross word and I hate the word. I just feel like if you're doing a thing, like content just sounds like you're just like jerking off into a trash can to me. Because there's no thought into so much of it. Like so much, like I look at what a lot of comedians post on Instagram and it's like if they touch a microphone, they take a picture. All of these moments don't need to be commemorated. And everyone's putting it out because they want people to see their faces more and more so that they know that they're doing the thing because that, like, matters within the thing we're doing. Like, it would be so nice to just not have any of that and still be able to have a career. Because all these things, like, you know what? No comedian really wants to have to do that. And no person, I don't even think people want to have to do that because it's such a waste of time. It is such a waste of time. I'm trying to pull up a quota that I thought was interesting. Oh, this is from this dude. This guy like made like a bunch of sketches that were good a while ago. His name's Julian Smith. But he tweeted a thing out and it kind of really hammered home how I feel. And again, I understand the irony of getting, I understand the irony of me using social media and railing against social media. But here's the point. Here's his tweet. It's absurd how impossible it's become to market anything without constant social media activity. Any personal aversion to it is pointless. The algorithms we created officially own us. What are we becoming? And I thought that was, I personally thought that was truly thoughtful. Any personal aversion to social media is pointless because you won't be able to get anyone to engage with anything you're doing without constant social media. So that's why everyone has to post pictures of the fucking bullshit they're doing constantly. And it's too bad because all that stuff it takes up your time. It takes up your energy and keeps you from doing the things that are actually meaningful. Like, do you ever, anyone watch, like, Nathan For You with Nathan Fielder? That show is so amazing. The dude does borderline no social media. And it's because if he tried to manage social media or have social media, he wouldn't be able to create such a long-form hysterical show. He couldn't be able to do that, like, finale that that Francis finale, that wouldn't, he wouldn't have the mental capacity to create such a weird, beautiful, funny, bizarre, creepy, strange finale if he were posting things on Instagram. If he were tweeting constantly. Really takes up so much of your time. And then you ever watch someone watch social media, and as you're looking at them, you're like, that's not happy. That's not happy at all. They look, their eyes are always glazed over. They're seeing pictures of food and workout and dogs and more attractive people than them. It's really terrible. And what's also terrible is that it's, I know some people make some money off of their profiles or whatever, but for 99% of us, we're providing all of the articles and all of the thoughts on which other people are making income off of. And that's such a depressing thought. At least 20 years ago, all of the writers for the newspaper were getting paid for the shit they were writing. All the photographers were getting paid for all the pictures they were taking. And now we're doing it for free. It's all become so devalued. And then, like he said, personal aversion to it is pointless. Because if you don't engage in it, and you're trying to be a personality, or you're trying to, or you write books, or you write movies or create movies, or you want to do a podcast, which I think that there's a lot of thought that goes into this, even though I joked about not putting any effort in earlier. I actually do. Before this, I write for like an hour or two, and I try to come up with jokes. Now, are all of the jokes good? No. Can I tell if they're good? Not really, because there's no audience here to laugh at any of them and let me know which ones are bad. And can I tell if I'm bombing? Also, no clue. I can't tell what's going on. I'm speaking in a room alone into a microphone. I have no idea. But I like doing this, but you know, I don't like doing tweeting about it. You know, I don't like doing Instagramming about it. You know what I don't like doing? Facebooking. And then on top of that, every time you try to post a thing to any of those things, you end up getting distracted by someone else's bullshit. And you get so angry, or you roll your eyes, or you're disgusted, or you're annoyed, or you're insecure. It never makes you feel better. It doesn't. Man, if I could get big enough to be like, and I don't think I am Doug Stanhope at all, but big enough to have that type of career, then God damn, that would be beautiful. And I get how insanely ambitious that is, but that is beauty, because he has no chains on his wrists. And he has nothing to take from him on stage. Like, when I saw him live a month ago, this dude, he is easily one of the best comedians alive. Obviously, that's why he has this following. But in the sense that he talks about and says whatever the fuck he wants. He's doing all the things that are considered taboo these days, or that are unpolitically correct. He does them all. And he pulls them all off well. That's why he can do them, is because he does them well too. Because if he wasn't doing the things well, then people would not be pleased with the show and it would go poorly. But everything he says, there's a good logic to it. He did one bit. Oh, fuck, I can't even remember it now. It was about like, God. He gave you, put like the audience in a position where they had like two horrible choices, and they like mentally you had to choose whether you were like a racist or something else. God, man, it sucks I even brought it up, because I'm not doing this thing justice. I'll try to remember, and maybe I'll tweet about it. I don't know, man. This is pretty funny though. But somebody, first, let me just say the people that went, and some people have written me some 5-star reviews since I've been doing this podcast solo. Greatly appreciate that. It's really kind of you. To the guy who went and gave me a 1-star review, thank you. I love you, and your one-star review made me laugh quite a bit because it felt very personal. And also was what I thought made this podcast good is that it's a spiral into insanity. And this guy wrote like one that Mike was way better than I am and that I've been – that my podcast is cringy as fuck and then I'm spiraling into insanity. And it's like I'm actually not spiraling into insanity. So much of this is performance. I turn this shit off and I am fine. If that doesn't even – if I'm even not fine on it, which I don't even know what that means. I don't even know what is not mentally fine mean. And I don't think I'm even doing anything that crazy here. But anyway, your one-star review, thank you very much. I'm glad that you took the time out of your life to let me know that you don't like me. And instead of sending me a message or an email or the things that you don't like about me or which points I make that you are frustrated with, you just decided to try to hurt me. And I'm glad I own that real estate in your head. And I get the irony of me bringing that up on my podcast and taking my time to let you know that I know about that. But I also have 45 minutes to an hour to fill for this podcast. So why not spend a few minutes letting the person who gave me a one-star review that I love you? And that it actually you think about getting, I've gotten a lot of one-star reviews in my life for all sorts of things. Stand-up shows have gone poorly, and I get reviews on those. I'm obviously a failed professional athlete. I was not able to achieve that dream. And it's when you first get the failure, it always hurts, but then you kind of think about it later, and it only makes you stronger. Getting the more times people tell you you suck, the less being told you suck hurts. And then you kind of realize, oh, wait, actually, it doesn't hurt at all. So I kind of don't care that you think I suck. And if you think I suck, then why don't we just not interact in any capacity? So I hope that you have quit listening to me altogether. That would be the healthy thing to do. Or I also wouldn't hate if you kept hate listening. And every time I said a word, it just sort of made your blood boil a little bit more. And you got angrier and angrier. And it made you miserable because of how much you hate me. And ultimately, you die an early death. Because why would you put yourself? God, that's crazy to me. It's crazy to me that people go and write reviews that are negative. I am so not motivated that if I have a bad experience, here's the truth. I've only written negative reviews. I've only written negative reviews one time in my life. And you can go through all of my social media, you can go through my diaries, you can go through everything. And I've talked poorly about many things. Oh, don't get me wrong. I've said movies sucked verbally. I've said plays sucked verbally. Books sucked verbally. Musicians or songs sucked verbally. But that's what you're supposed to do, is you're supposed to say, I hate blah, 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 blah. What do you think? And they go, I also hate blah, 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 blah. Because it's conversation and that is fun. Now, here is what is pathetic. I have never, ever felt so motivated by a bad experience that I went and gave myself homework. You loser. You're a loser. If you go to a restaurant and you don't like the food and you go home and you write a review about how you don't like the food, just not like the review, take the L and move on. What, you're going to be dead someday, man. Seriously, that's so unhealthy for you. That's so unhealthy to be that type of person who hates, who then gives yourself a little mini project. You had to create a screen name. And you did, because you didn't want me to know who you were. So funny. Shit's so funny. I've only done it one time. And the only time I wrote bad reviews and felt motivated enough was because I had a dog. My family had a dog, and my parents we were going on a family trip. My parents boarded our dog, and the shelter left our dog outside, and our dog overheated and died under their care. Only time I've ever written a one-star review. Now, if you think that that is the only thing that deserves one star, everything else is not a one-star review. You're a piece of shit. If you gave one star because, oh, the dinner came cold. No. Here's a question. Did your dog die? If your dog didn't die, then it's not a one-star experience. Anything short of death is not a one-star experience. The waiter was not friendly. Did your dog die? No. Then it's not a one-star experience. That's 2.5 stars, you fucking asshole. I didn't really like the ambiance. Were there dead dogs in the restaurant? No. Then it's not a one-star experience. I just really miss the old podcast. Did your dog die? No. Then it's not a one-star experience. Do you guys understand my point? Do I need to provide more examples? I'm happy to do it if you want. I can do this all day. At the laundromat, they mixed my colors and my whites, and some of my white underwear is now red. Did they throw your dog in the dryer and your dog die? No. Then it's not a one-star experience. I'm sorry, you're an asshole. You just feel a little personal vendetta, and a lot of other things in your life aren't going well, so you feel the need to take it out on people who are trying. Now, if people don't try at all and they're truly shitty, sure, one star them. But I think I'm trying here. I really think I am. I show up planned. I show up prepared. I write jokes. You can hate them. Tune out. But I don't think it's a one-star experience. Did you turn my podcast on in the living room and your dog die listening to it? No? Then it's not a one-star experience. It's not. If you go short of dead dog, then don't write one star. Boom. That's my rule. It's the only time I've really written a review of a thing and meant it. It's the only time. The only time I've written a review like that. It hurts for a moment getting bad reviews. But they hit you for a moment, and they bother you for a few minutes, and then you go, eh, fuck them. And then the more bad reviews you get out of life, you know, you're not, if some people don't hate you, you're probably not doing it right. Because some people, you should be instilling some, if you're not taking a chance, if everyone walks out and goes, that was fantastic. Straight up, seriously, some people should hate what you do. Some people should think you're doing it completely wrong. Otherwise, you're doing such a mediocre job, you're just really mailing it in. It's really, but you know what? Also, you're right when people, there are times I've done horrible, horrible performances. I've had horrible shows, or I've put out horrible episodes of whatever the fuck I'm creating. I've you know, some sketches that we've made that are better or worse than others, I think, and you know, maybe your not positive review is correct. It's very possible. But, like, bad stuff's great, too. I love, honestly, I love just going to a, just having a terrible experience at a place. I mean, what a treat. What a treat. You go to a play, and it's so bad. It's poorly written. The actors don't know their lines. I mean, what a treat. If you want to see a good play, I mean, you can see a million good plays. You can see so many things can be well done or done to a to the good degree. But I mean, witnessing a train wreck. Oh my God. That's so joyful. So joyful. Did your dog die? It's kind of catchy, actually. I don't know if anyone is going to enjoy that or if y'all are going to be like, good God. That's a true story, though. That was really heartbreaking. But you know what I didn't do? Is I didn't go write stuff about it on Instagram. And when it, if couples, I have a girlfriend now, and it's funny. We're talking about how we don't really post on social media about each other really at all. Very, very infrequently. Very infrequently. Is there anything that has either of us on it? You almost wouldn't. If you looked at my social media, you wouldn't even know I have a girlfriend. You wouldn't. And God damn, is that great. It, whenever anyone posts like tons of pictures or videos of their significant other, one does go, you do protest too much. Do other people need to be in on these private photos? Do other people need to see them, those intimate moments of you having dinner together? I mean, pulling out your phone in the middle of dinner to record them, I mean, it puts them on the spot. And it straight up, I've dated people who pull out their phone a lot and just film you. It straight up breaks up. It kills the moment. If you want to film me, write a script, give me a character and a role, and let's get the cameras going. Okay? But don't just spur of the moment. Start filming me. You know, it breaks up the moment. It kills it. Because then you're performing for an audience. Man, I know I perform for an audience, but at least it's on my terms. It's on the stand-up, it's on podcasts, it's on sketches. And I'm trying to get a following for those things because I think I have stuff to say. I think is the operative word there, right? But I believe I have an important contribution to make in those areas. But yo, if you're just a guy or a girl, why would you walk down this road? I mean, why would you want to put out the pictures to people like that? What do you enjoy your life instead? The second I wasn't doing this, I would fucking delete all of that and not use or share it again, you know? I wouldn't... Oh, shit. I just knocked the microphone. Sorry. I wouldn't have an Instagram account where I write pithy bullshit underneath my pictures. What are you doing? Don't. You know? It's like, you ever go to like a museum? I've been to the MoMA. And people take selfies with masterpieces. First, has anyone seen a picture of a painting and felt like that picture did the painting justice? No, never. No one's ever like, wow, that picture you took improved the painting. It can't be captured. You have to go see it. You really have to go see it live and look at it in order to have the experience. So there's no point to that picture. There's no point to it. What is proof you saw it? I'll believe you. Like when someone wants a selfie with a celebrity, yo, if you tell me you met Bo Jackson, I'll believe you. I'm not going to question it. You went to a party and Harrison Ford was there? No need for the selfie. Tell me the story. I'll believe you. But no, people take selfies with masterpieces. Dude, get your fucking dumb head away from the picture. You're not making it better. What the fuck? So many. I can't get it, man. People take so many pictures. Do you even look at these fucking things? How often do you go through your photo albums on your own phone? How often do you go through those things? Fucking never. Never. You don't. You don't. You just snap the picture. Just have the moment in your head, dude. Just have the moment in your head. We really should switch back to Polaroids. And you can only take, you gotta spend like 10 bucks to pay, 20 bucks to take 25 pictures. Cause those pictures matter. Cause it's $250 a picture. And everyone's gonna, you're gonna make sure you get it. You're gonna make sure you get it right. You only got one shot. You don't even know if you got it. Now with phones, you just, 27 pictures taken. Do we get it? Who cares? We're not even going to look at this later. We're just going to take up everyone's time with the photo that none of us are going to look at later. Not even cool. I will say this, though. One thing I do like about Instagram is it lets me check out my nephews routinely. I get to watch them grow up and kind of, because my sister-in-law always puts up pictures and videos with them in it, and I get to watch them progress. Man, it must have been crazy for my uncles. They wouldn't see me. They wouldn't see me for like 6 months to a year. I show up, I'm a different human. That must have been so strange that I would, because then also like I would be into a thing perhaps when I was six, and then they don't see me till I'm seven, and I'm not into that thing at all, but they don't really even know you. Wow. But now I can kind of like get an everyday update on what my nephews are doing, how their lives are going, which is kind of cool. See like the progress, be like go watch videos and like they're like toddlers or three and two or whatever they are, approaching two. And you just kind of look at them, you're like, damn, they're becoming people. And I get to watch them do that. But it would have been crazy if I just didn't see them for a year or 6 months or something. Then we go to like some family get together and all of a sudden, like, Vance went from being a bowl of pudding to walking around and talking in half-filled sentences. That would have been wild to see. You kind of don't get that shock anymore, though, because of social media. But it is kind of, you know, that's, I guess, a positive thing about it. Maybe that's why people put it up. I don't know, man. I don't know. I get. But I, like Julian Smith said, any personal aversion to it is pointless. So the last 25 minutes of complaining have been completely pointless. They haven't been. Because complaining is one of the greatest pastimes for me. That's one of the pastimes that I personally enjoy doing and try to do it as often as I can. You know what I mean? All right. I've hit 50 minutes-ish. I got to get going here, guys. I'm going to be... Let's see here. I've got some dates coming up. Go to my Facebook page and check out the dates. I'm going to be on the East Coast. I'm coming back to Kansas City end of October. I don't know the... Here, let me just look it up real fast on my handy-dandy notebook. I'm going to be there 25th to the 27th. I'm headlining three shows at in Kansas City. They're actually selling really well. They're already all like half full, and it's 2 months out, so you're going to have to get your tickets. That shit's going to sell out, brah. You want to see me do an hour? You want to see me do an hour of thought out things, not like this podcast? Boom, buy some tickets, all right? Message me on Facebook or Twitter. Let me know how fucking much you hate me. You don't need to go write a one-star review. That's not necessary. But if you feel so compelled to, you know, what am I going to do? Stop you? No, I don't really care that much, so... Y'all, thank you so much for listening. I love you. I really appreciate every single one of you. And hope you're having a great day and a great life. And everything that you want out of this life comes your way. Bye.